Thanks for listening to Over the Counter, the podcast from Drug Topics. This podcast series was created in partnership with AmerisourceBergen and Good Neighbor Pharmacy as part of Drug Topics coverage of the 2021 ThoughtSpot Conference and Trade Show. For more exclusive coverage of ThoughtSpot 2021, including more podcast episodes, check out our dedicated ThoughtSpot 2021 tab on drugtopics.com. In this episode, Good Neighbor Pharmacy customers, each serving very different communities, reflect on the past year and discuss the future of independent pharmacy. Abby Rice of Norton, Kansas, Jennifer Shannon of Johns Creek, Georgia, and Kevin DeMoss of Salt Lake City, Utah, share their unique experiences in navigating the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's discussion in partnership with Drug Topics. I'm Jennifer Shannon, and I'm the owner of Lily's Pharmacy and Wellness Center located in Johns Creek, Georgia. Our pharmacy is roughly 8 years old this year, and we're located in a very highly populated suburb outside of Atlanta. I am so passionate about being a pharmacist. I have loved watching our pharmacy grow, and I loved watching it shine over the last couple of years and see our clinical services, our vaccination services, and our patient services grow at another level. But I'm super happy to be here today with Abby Rice, my colleague and owner of Moffitt Drug in Norton, Kansas, and Kevin DeMoss, owner and pharmacist of The Apothecary Shop in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you both so much for being here. I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak with these two pharmacy owners as we reflect on the last year and share our vision of the future of community pharmacy. Before we get into these topics, I'll pass it over to Abby Rice and Kevin DeMoss to introduce themselves and their pharmacies.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's great to be here with you as well. My name is Abby Rice. My husband and I, Chase, own Moffitt Drug in Norton, Kansas. We serve a very small rural farming community with a significant elderly population. We've been in business in this location for 12 years, and we are actually the only pharmacy in our community.
Wow. I need to open up a pharmacy there. Well, thanks, Jennifer. And thanks, Abby. My name is Kevin DeMoss, and I am one of the pharmacists and owners of the Apothecary Shop in Salt Lake City, Utah. Our pharmacy is 48 years old. We have a very diverse patient population. We have college students that are about a mile away at the University of Utah. We serve all of the professors there. We have a large refugee population with Refugee Health located on our hospital campus that's downtown. I've got a lot of professionals downtown that are my patients, bankers, lawyers, business consultants. And that mixes in with my wonderful homeless population that's in Salt Lake City. They are wonderful patients of mine. I've got a lot of patients in the substance abuse and misuse community. I have a large population of HIV patients that we service, sex workers, as well as social and behavioral health patients that are in need of our services. We're a little bit different as a city pharmacy. A differentiator for us, I think, is that we've been there for so long that we have kind of earned and we try to maintain our patients' trust in us. And we've kind of earned and maintained our community's trust in us, our community leaders, as well as those that live and serve in our community. Another differentiator for my pharmacy, I think, the second thing would be our consistency, the consistency with our products, the consistency with the service that the patients receive when they come in, and also the consistency of the improved health outcomes that our patients experience when they come to see us. And I think the last thing as a differentiator for a city pharmacy is that I have no sign. There is no sign on my building. My pharmacy is located in the basement of a medical office building next to the sleep lab and cardiology and neuroscience center. And so it's kind of like an old prohibition sleep easy where you got to know a person who knows a person who knows a person that has kind of a secret knock and knows a way to get in. But we are in no way a speakeasy pharmacy. Our doors are wide open, our arms are wide open, and the city can come in and we will love you and take care of you as much as humanly possible.
Thanks, Kevin. That sounds amazing. I'm excited to dive into the conversation today. At Good Neighbor Pharmacy, there are more than 5,000 independent pharmacies in every pocket of the country. Today, we get to represent three of those. In midst of a tumultuous and unpredictable year, one thing we have learned for sure is just how important it is that every single one of these independent pharmacies is to their communities. Our patients are at the heart of everything we do and every decision we make. Each of us brings such a unique perspective to the table to share today as we reflect on this year. I know for you guys, one of the biggest hurdles was the COVID-19 pandemic and how we had to adapt to the changes in serving patients at this time. Many of our states were in lockdown. Our pharmacy actually changed to only curbside delivery and home delivery during the worst of the pandemic. We had a nursing home that was significantly affected, and we had to prompt those changes to protect their population as well as others. It was a challenge to make so many transitions at once, and I know you guys felt that as well. We ended up requiring employees to wear masks, which is a challenge, and I know that our pharmacists didn't like that as well. And we closed our lobby, like I said, and when we opened it back up, we asked the public to wear masks to protect the populations that we served as well. Of course, becoming a vaccine provider for COVID-19 and everything that entailed was definitely a challenge, and I know you guys felt it too. Making sure there was equitable vaccine access in our rural community was at the top of our priority list, and we faced significant vaccine hesitancy in our area. So I think educating the population became really important, and being somebody, like you said, Kevin, who is trusted with patient care helped definitely overcome a few of those obstacles. I do think independent pharmacy is best positioned to do this work. As entrepreneurs and small business people, we are able to transition quickly and react to changes without much hesitancy. Kevin, I know you have a diverse patient population out in Salt Lake City. How did you adapt to continue to serve your community during COVID-19?
Oh man, Abby, you just touched on a couple of things that I learned by participating in ThoughtSpot this week with the AmerisourceBergen show. How pharmacies, independent pharmacy owners, how they're so great at adaptation and innovation. And the things that you did in our store, I mean, the things you did in your store are very similar to what we did. And I ordered all this plexiglass to put up into my store to turn it into the hugest salad bar that you could possibly see. And I didn't know how to hang plexiglass. I didn't know how to do the cables. I didn't know how to get it down. And if it needs to be, you know, 4 inches off the counter or 3 inches off the counter. And it kind of reminded me of being back at the hospital and working in a laminar flow hood and trying to clean it down and measure how much air was actually pushing through. It was just, I mean, we just looked at each other like, how are we going to adapt? So anyway, long story short, we turned into the biggest salad bar in Salt Lake City. We have plexiglass everywhere. And then on one Saturday, this is kind of a great story. One Saturday, my wife and I, we closed the store. We got a tape measure out. We went to the hardware store and we bought, 7,000 feet of yellow duct tape. And we were trying to social distance and trying to measure off exactly how we could protect our staff, how we could protect our patients that were coming in. And so we made these great big like hopscotch squares inside the pharmacy. And then inside the big yellow box was a great big X. And so as patients would come into our store and see us, you had to occupy an X. And so you couldn't be in outer darkness outside of an X, you had to be inside of an X. And so if you wanted to go to the soda fountain, you had to wait for the soda fountain X to clear out if somebody was in there. If you wanted to go get Band-Aids or if you wanted to come and see the pharmacist at the front, you had to wait your turn and move and occupy the X's that were in the store. And so after a while, you know, the customers kind of caught on to how we were going to kind of do the traffic flow and how we were going to move through the store. And it took maybe 2 to 3 weeks. And we started having customers that were hopping from Xbox, from an X to an X to an X through the whole store. And then you would hop like 5 boxes until you actually got to the front of the counter to drop off your prescription and to see the pharmacy. It was absolutely crazy. But we were so stressed. We were so stressed that this was just kind of a way that made it fun for the patients. It made it fun for the staff. We became the sanitizers of the universe. We wiped down every surface every 20 minutes. We made sure that the X's were occupied. We just adapted and innovated as much as we could. Now, I told you that I'm in the basement of a building. And so we don't have a drive-up window. There's no tunnel access to the pharmacy. And so we instigated curbside delivery, Abby, like you said that you guys did. And we could either stand at the elevators and wait 20 minutes for the elevators to open, or we could run up 20 flights of stairs and deliver the prescriptions outside of the parking lot. So needless to say, we're all in very great shape. Our lungs are working very good. Our calves are very strong. And we've made it up and down those stairs all day long for the last 18 months. We're very adaptive and we're very innovative, and we're still doing it to this day. You talked about challenges that you faced during the rollout. Holy smokes, the challenges that we had is we were thinking, how are we going to staff? What's going to happen if I have a pharmacist that goes down? What's going to happen if I have a delivery driver that gets sick and I have to quarantine him, or I have a technician or two technicians? How are we going to get through this and work alone? Am I going to be able to keep the doors open and take care of the patients? And so we made all these diagrams and we figured out, you know, all of these battle plans on what we would do to staff our store. I actually ended up reaching out to a couple of my college professors at the University of Utah. And I said, hey, if I have somebody go down, can you come and help me? Will you send a student down? Will you send a PGY1 down to see me? Will you come down and help me? And they helped us with open arms. It was unbelievable how they would come down and help us. And they helped us with the vaccine rollout. Now, the vaccine rollout was a total another crazy, crazy experience. Yeah. So our pharmacy enrolled in the federal program. And so we got to sit on the sidelines in phase two and watch everything that was happening in phase 1A, phase 1B, phase 1C. And so vaccine was out there early in 2020, and I would get hundreds of telephone calls every day. Kevin, do you have the vaccine? I want to come down. My wife and I are on our way. Kevin, do you have this? When are you getting it? Kevin, do you have this? We started to, no kidding, we have a waiting list of vaccine that was like a phone book in New York City, the old-fashioned phone books. It was just lengthy and long, and I kept saying, no, I'm in phase two. I can't get it. And really, I've got to do a shout out at this point to Jenny Zilka and AmerisourceBergen. Yes. And her relentless efforts in getting vaccine into independent pharmacies and getting vaccine into those places where the communities could use it. In Salt Lake City, we were nothing but a mass distribution site. So you had to go stand in line for 6 hours in the cold, in the rain, in the snow, and wait for your turn. And many of my patients did that patiently and then get there, and then the vaccine was out. Then they'd run out and they were done. And so with my patient population, well, they were one and done. They were out. So they went back into the shadows, no vaccine for them. And literally Jenny called me and said, your vaccine's on the way. The vaccine arrived in my pharmacy. We started on the calling list, and in probably less than 30 minutes, I had people at the door and I had vaccine in arms in less than 30 minutes once we got the vaccine. And then, you know, we kind of noticed that there were some disparities in where the vaccine was going. And it wasn't, you know, for us, it wasn't getting in our patients' arms quick enough. And so one thing that we did, kind of in closing, and I'll pass it off, is that we partnered with nonprofit organizations that come in and see, you know, battered women that come in and that are in homeless shelters, that treat, like the Utah AIDS Foundation. We partnered with doctor's offices, hospitals, clinics that kind of see different folks in our city that you might not really see during the daytime. And we partnered with them, and I said, hey, you know what, we've got a little bit of a social media presence, and I can reach X amount of patients, but if we partner with what you can do on your side, and then we share with your social media and their social media, and then we mix together, we can expand this and reach the patients that we need to do. So they came into the pharmacy. We did a couple of film clips. We did a couple of, vaccine education pieces so that we could address vaccine hesitancy, address side effects, address the availability, and boom, the floodgates opened and we got doses into people's arms that otherwise wouldn't have got the doses. Anyway, I'm going to stop. Hey, Jen, I know that you guys have had a lot of challenges out where you are too. What was your experience in owning and operating a pharmacy right outside of Atlanta through the pandemic? I know you've got, you know, you mentioned you've got an older population. How did you make them feel connected through such an isolated moment in time with this crazy pandemic?
Yeah. So, okay. Thank you so much. So, you know what I love about independent pharmacists? We are all cut from the same cloth, you know, like everyone tells their story and I'm just like, okay, that's sort of like mine. And we figured out a way to adapt really quickly. And so I'm always so just honored and privileged to hear more of them. But you know, just like you guys, when all of this started to go down, my husband, Mike, and I were like, what are we going to do? We have 4 kids. All of a sudden, they're home. I've got all these team members that I'm not sure are okay to come in. Everyone was so scared in the beginning. And I think sort of we had some of the things that we adapted to in place. So we always have had a drive-through, much to my dismay. We've always had a drive-through. And then we did, you know, our team members, we had a really long talk when this all started and they said, we're here for the long haul. We just want to feel safe. So we did close our doors. That was one of the hardest things. And I've told so many people that my husband and I have ever done. We clawed, scratched, begged for people to walk at our doors when we opened, and to close them for that length of time was painful and really hard for me. I'm a total people person and I love to hug people. So like, whoa, you took away my people and my hugs all at one time. That was a really bad day. But so, you know, like you said, Kevin, we do have a high senior population. We also have a really large young family population. The thing about Johns Creek, it's sort of multi-generational because a lot of families have moved closer to each other. So you have, we have grandparents, their kids, and then their kids. So I really always feel so blessed to take care of all of them. But I thought, okay, so now our patients can't see our delivery drivers, who really were some of the only people that saw them anyway, sometimes if they didn't have family nearby. How do we reach them? How do I talk to them beyond just a phone call? And so that's when we decided, it was actually my kids. I'm going to credit my kids, especially Lily, my oldest daughter. Mom, can we just make some cards? And I was like, yeah, you should make cards for all of them. And then Lily was like, what kind of factory are you trying to run? We need some help. So I just put a social media ask to our village. And of course the village came through so much for us. And not only did all these kids in our community make these cards for our older patients started writing them letters back. And I can't begin to tell you like how awesome it is to have a front row seat to so much kindness right in front of you. And never thought I would witness something like that. So we really did adapt. Our delivery drivers came out still every day. They just couldn't see the patients. They had to drop things off right in the homes or outside on the front porch and wave. But I think our biggest challenges more were when we found out the vaccines were coming. And, you know, Kevin, I heard your story about people calling you every day. My neighbors are convinced I moved because they were literally knocking on my door. And I would just kept saying, I don't have them yet. I know AmerisourceBergen is working so hard for us. And I'm going to give another shout out to Jenny Zilka. I know she spent hours for us. And so that day I got the call that you're getting some vaccines and I was like, okay, like 30 or 40. And they said, no, 1200. And I think I cried. And then I said, okay, how are we going to do this now? And my mom's a nurse. And she said, I'll come out there every day and give shots for you. And my dad was like, I'll be there. Like, I'm not a healthcare person, but let me know what you need. And then I realized, well, how do I get all of these as fast as I can into people's arms? And so again, I went to that social media ask and I just said, I need volunteers. And I think I cried on the video because I didn't know what to do. And the next, like, I think within the hour, we had 30 or 40, possibly 50 people say, let me know what you need. I'll be there. So the pharmacy schools came out, our patients came out and helped us run those clinics. And my dad directed traffic like a boss. And we did all, and my husband designed all the logistics and we vaccinated, you know, 500 people the next day within 3 hours. So I'm going to give my husband a big shout out because that engineer designed that really well. But, you know, I think that, and from then we just kept getting more vaccines and we've been able to do, you know, and I think in the 15,000 range since we got them. But I feel really fortunate to see that our little pharmacy that's grown not only did it grow inside the walls, it grew outside the walls. And you just don't realize how many people are trying to lift you up every day when you don't even see them. So I guess for me, all of this, the adaptation, you know, all of us pharmacists adapted really easily and quickly. But I think it's our patients and our community and our village that really just like jumped in. Never thought I would see something like that. So I feel very grateful for that. But, you know, even though the last couple of years weren't easy, I really feel like we have climbed over a mountain and hopefully that mountain is still on the downslope. And we don't give up. I love independent pharmacists for that. Like we just figure out how to do it and we move on. But I really keep saying this and I should have put my sunglasses on again. The future is so bright. We need to wear shades.
I totally agree. This past year has been a heavy weight, heavy burden. We've all felt it on our backs, you know, moving forward. One of the most important parts of overcoming, you know, and eventually bouncing back from such a devastating experience is being optimistic, optimistic for the future, taking the right steps to prioritize our patients and their health as we move forward. One of the things that, you know, that I plan to protect, you know, kind of post-COVID, in COVID and post-COVID going back is really prioritizing our patients. I mean, we really did focus everything that we did on our patients. They were number one, and really our staff was number two. And we really put a patient-centered approach on everything that we did. One thing to protect and kind of develop on too that we have done probably for the last 18 months specifically is, you know, adapting to the cultural competencies that are all around us. Jen, you talked about, you know, multifamily generations that are kind of coming back. You know, we've had that, but I don't think we have really laser focused in on that like we have the last, like, you know, during this pandemic. Each one of us has probably seen that in their pharmacies for years and years and years, but it really became so apparent for us during COVID. You know, you notice people that are working different hours, you know, people are eating different foods, they're speaking different languages, they have grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles, they've lost jobs, they're all living together, they're pulling all their resources together. So, you know, keeping that focus on patient care, I think, you know, number one for us. We had difficulty attracting patients and keeping the patients coming. I mean, we could communicate with them by phone, social media, but patients weren't coming into our building. I mean, our hospital was empty. They were holding all the beds for COVID patients. And, you know, the emergency room would have two or three people a day. And, you know, people are doing FaceTime calls and video calls and Zoom calls to see their doctors. And it just, there was no surgeries. It just went down. It was a ghost town. But there was a silver lining in the ghost town though, because it's called Vaccine Finder, and Vaccine Finder was huge for us for attracting patients. And so I told you, we don't even have a sign outside. So people would type in, I got to find a vaccine in my zip code. And they say, oh my heck, there's a pharmacy two blocks away from me. I had no idea. And hundreds of patients came in and said, I didn't even know there was a pharmacy here. And I said, well, guess what? You do now. What medications are you on? What disease states do you want us to manage? We want to be your care center. We want to be your healthcare destination now. So that was a godsend, a silver lining for that, for sure. We diversified a little bit. We had to find tricky ways to keep the revenue streams coming. And one of the things that really had turned out great for us during the pandemic was long-acting injectable therapy. So we're, you know, kind of looking into the future, we're going to try to turn our pharmacy into kind of the destination for long-acting injectable therapy for multiple disease states. We're seeking out providers who are using this and looking for help, looking for pharmacies like ours that can bring a patient in, educate a patient on what the drug expectations might be, what they can expect from that drug, and then receive their injection there at the pharmacy, along with their other medications that we do for that patient, and either do a fee for service, which is awesome. That's a cash business, or maybe even look into medical billing. So that's one thing that we're kind of breaking out in to do for the future. We've set some goals to keep us there, re-emphasizing vaccines totally. Patients kind of forgot about that. We've been hammering them with vaccines for years and years and years. but now you get a COVID vaccine that's kind of like a Star Wars vaccine, you know, developed by Luke Skywalker, and it has the power of the Force, and people really listen. And they listen, and they're like, whoa, are all vaccines like this? And I said, well, haven't you been paying attention for the last 25 years?
Where have you been?
I know, where have you been? We've had this conversation. But now, you know, COVID vaccine has really opened the eyes to our senior patients, our middle-aged patients, and our young patients. That's just kind of a blessing. So we're focusing on that. And we're focusing on increasing that awareness in our patients, in their families, and in our communities. Now, Abby, I know you've been quiet, so I'm going to stop. Tell me what the future looks like for those folks post-COVID out in Norton, Kansas.
Well, Kevin, I have to tell you, and Jennifer as well, that we are always super excited about the future of pharmacy, especially now, but it's a little bit hard to focus on the future when you still feel like you're in the trenches a little bit. And I know you guys do too, with everything that's going on. But one thing I think we took away was pharmacies really showed their worth during the pandemic and stood up and were heard in our role as part of the healthcare system, which I think was reinvigorating for some of us. I think at times independent pharmacy owners are okay to take a backseat, right? And we stood up and said, here we are, we can do this work, which was fun to watch. And I think that as people become more comfortable with pharmacies being a hub of care, it becomes easier to retain and attract patients. There were some really good changes that came out of the pandemic. And I think it was things that we had, but we overlooked prior to dealing with all of these issues. I don't think we understood how important it was to personally interact with every patient. And that being taken away, you kind of are like, oh my gosh, it's so important that I can look them in the eye and tell them what to do, or how do you overcome vaccine hesitancy when you can't do that face-to-face, which was really difficult. And I think you got a realization of how important it was for your patients to be coming in the door instead of having to lock down like most of us had to do. It's very hard to maintain rapport with them when you're at arm's length. And, you know, another thing is we became more than just pharmacy owners. I know that we had some vaccinations that we did through the long-term care program, and we were the only people that these patients had seen in months because they're long-term care facility was on lockdown. And we had family members calling us and saying, would you, like, can we send you pictures to show grandma of their grandkids when you go in to vaccinate them? And it was shocking. And then we went in and it was like a party. These long-term care patients, actually we did it, I think on the day before New Year's, and they called it their New Year's party. And they were excited because this was their ticket to open back up. And so we became more than just people giving them vaccines to the community, because we became an avenue for communication with the loved ones. And that was great to see. But right now we're still battling COVID. And as our pharmacy, we don't have a significant amount of plans for increasing services, because right now we're still trying to get our public vaccinated. Most of that is just overcoming hesitancy right now. Everybody that, you know, I'm having trouble filling a 15 vial lot of Moderna and getting 15 people to take it. And so it's a struggle for sure. And so we are still battling those things, but we do have a huge goal in getting our community vaccinated, getting our kids back to school safely, and getting COVID under control so we can definitely resume what is our new normal, because I don't know that we ever go back to what we considered our normal, right? Jennifer, how are you continuing to attract and retain your patients over time? And do you think that process will shift in your near future?
Yeah, thank you. So we, during this whole process, one of our friends said, okay, you're going to touch all these people. Are you going to tell them how awesome you are? Because we are all terrible at telling people how awesome we are. And I find that every time I talk to one of my colleagues, no matter where they're located, like, we have all this great things happening inside our walls, but we fail sometimes to tell people. So Mike, my husband's from New Jersey, so he has a little less shame than I am. And he decided, I think we should give every patient we touch a letter saying, you know, thanking them for coming, thanking them for being here, but then maybe asking them to be here for us too, so we can continue to do these sorts of things for our community at the level we want to do them. And oh my gosh, that simple letter was life-changing. It grew our business probably 150% over the last few months. It has brought a volume of patients that I prayed for that I never imagined we would get coming through our doors. And so I think that it was a reminder to me that we always have to be doing that. Even when we feel like our business is in a really good place, it's never done, right? We always have to be working towards growth and positive growth. So, you know, I think that we have gained a lot of great new families, and that has kind of spread like wildfire through our community. And through that, that's enabled me to bring in a practice manager that can kind of help my husband and I kind of get a handle on how we want to grow. And the biggest thing I've been wanting to work on is our wellness center and the clinic, where we have a medical director to bring in more pharmacist-based services for patients that I can maybe adjust therapy, see them in between their doctor visits, very similar to what I did in the hospital. But I just needed to get a handle on COVID before we could take off with that. But I really think that my role in our pharmacy is moving so much further around the counter and with the patients. And that's been my whole goal the entire time. So while COVID was a really, it's been a really hard, stressful couple of years, in a way, it has brought some shining lights for our practice that I can kind of bring some new things forward and really touch our patients in a different way. And Kevin, when you mentioned like reaching all the family members, it's so important. They're right in front of us, and we can sometimes be that hub for all of them. And I'm like, whoa, 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 that was a lot of information about what's going on in your family, but I'm super honored to take care of all of you. So I really think, and Abby, I can relate, like people calling saying, well, if you're not afraid to go over to my mom or go to that home, can you tell her this? Or we all have had those moments. And I think for me, like just reminding myself, be not afraid, has been a really good mantra every day for me to just keep my head on straight and be positive about everything that's going on. So yeah, I think that our pharmacy will continue to grow. This has brought a tremendous growth for us. And I, my new direction will be to be better about communicating with the providers about our services. You know, we get their prescriptions, we call their office and get some middle person in between them, but we really need to continue to work to know each other. So that's my next level of growth, I think. And I'm just so proud of everybody, all of us. I mean, we really have been resilient through all of this, but I could talk on for hours and hours, but I think I will probably end here. And thank you guys both so much for a great discussion. As Kevin mentioned earlier, continuing to prioritize our patients, our goals, and remaining optimistic throughout this entire process is so important. It's been wonderful speaking with you both. It has been a total pleasure for me, and I have so much respect and appreciation for all that you've done and continue to do for your patients. I love hearing these stories. So thank you guys so much for sharing it with me today.
Yes, Jennifer and Kevin, thanks again. It's been great. I love listening to both of you. We've had such similar experiences, but different, and it's great to hear what's been going on in those community pharmacies and how we've shown our communities what we can do. And I hope that that continues for many years, and good luck to both of you.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Abby, for stepping away from your patients for a couple of minutes and talking with me and sharing your experiences about what you've gone through COVID and what things have been like in different parts of the country. Just maybe just in closing, as we were wrapping up AmerisourceBergen's thought spot, the things that I've learned, and for all of our listeners out there, a challenge for you is to go back and listen to a couple of the awesome keynote speakers that we had. Listen to Travis Mills, overcoming the odds, and each and every one of us, not just Jennifer, not just Abby, not just me, but each and every one of you have overcome tremendous odds. And Travis will make you laugh and listen to his speech and adapt it into your life and into the life of your staff. And the second thing is go listen to Chef Andres, Jose Andres, and what an humble, brilliant humanitarian, and how he can get into disaster meals to people in just a matter of hours, and how he can pull things together and ultimately serve in the community. I mean, this to me, this is what independent community pharmacy is. And this is kind of the face of each and every one of our practices. So in closing, on behalf of Jennifer out in Atlanta, on behalf of Abby in Kansas and me here in Salt Lake City, I want to extend a huge thank you to those folks at AmerisourceBergen, Good Neighbor Pharmacy, and especially Drug Topics for having us on the podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we are so fortunate to share our experiences together, the challenges that we've gone through, our goals, and our hope for the pharmacy for the future, that better days are ahead. Thanks so much for listening today.
Thank you to Abby, Jennifer, and Kevin, not only for taking the time to share their experiences as independent pharmacists, but also for continuing to support their communities and care for their patients during these challenging times. And thank you to AmerisourceBergen and Good Neighbor Pharmacy for partnering with Drug Topics on this podcast series. And thank you for listening to Over the Counter. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, take a minute to subscribe and share with your pharmacy friends. We hope to see you next time at the counter.